Genesis chapter 48, we're going to begin reading at verse 1 and read through verse 14. And then we'll look at our text in Hebrews 11. And it came to pass, after these things, that one told Joseph, "Behold, thy father is sick." And he took with him his two sons, Manasseh and Ephraim. And one told Jacob, and said, "Behold, thy son Joseph cometh unto thee." And Israel strengthened himself, and sat upon the bed. And Jacob said unto Joseph, "God Almighty appeared unto me at Luz in the land of Canaan and blessed me and said unto me, 'Behold, I will make thee fruitful and multiply thee, and I will make thee of thee a multitude of people, and will give this land to thy seed after thee for an everlasting possession.' And now thy two sons, Ephraim and Manasseh, which were born unto thee in the land of Egypt before I came unto thee into Egypt, are mine. As Reuben and Simeon, they shall be mine. And thy issue which thou begettest after them shall be thine, and shall be called after the name of their brethren in their inheritance. And as for me, when I came from Padan, Rachel died by me in the land of Canaan in the way, when yet there was but a little way to come unto Ephrath. And I buried her there in the way of Ephrath, the same is Bethlehem. And Israel beheld Joseph's sons and said, 'Who are these?' And Joseph said unto his father, 'They are my sons, whom God hath given me in this place.' And he said, 'Bring them, I pray thee, unto me, and I will bless them.' Now the eyes of Israel were dim for age, so that he could not see. And he brought them near unto him, and he kissed them, and embraced them. And Israel said unto Joseph, 'I had not thought to see thy face. And lo, God hath showed me also thy seed.' And Joseph brought them out from between his knees, and he bowed himself with his face to the ground. And Joseph took them both, Ephraim in his right hand toward Israel's left hand, and Manasseh in his left hand toward Israel's right hand, and brought them near unto him. And Israel stretched out his right hand and laid it upon Ephraim's head, who was the younger, and his left upon Manasseh's head, guiding his hands wittingly, for Manasseh was the firstborn. And he blessed Joseph and said, 'God, before whom my fathers Abraham, Isaac did walk, the God which fed me all my life long until this day, the angel which redeemed me from all evil, bless the lads. And let my name be named on them, and the name of my fathers Abraham and Isaac. And let them grow into a multitude in the midst of the earth.' And when Joseph saw that his father laid his right hand upon the head of Ephraim, it displeased him. And he held up his father's hand to remove it from Ephraim's head unto Manasseh's head. And Joseph said unto his father, 'Not so, my father, for this is the firstborn. Put thy right hand upon his head.' And his father refused and said, 'I know it, my son, I know it. He also shall become a people, and he also shall be great. But truly his younger brother shall be greater than he, and his seed shall become a multitude of nations. And he blessed them that day, saying, In thee shall Israel bless, saying, God make thee as Ephraim and as Manasseh. And he set Ephraim before Manasseh. And Israel said unto Joseph, Behold, I die. But God shall be with you, and bring you again unto the land of your fathers. Moreover, I have given to thee one portion above thy brethren, which I took out of the hand of the Amorite with my sword and with my bow. And now I'm going to ask you to look with me at our text, which is found in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 21. Hebrews 11 and 21. It says there, by faith, Jacob, when he was a dying, blessed both the sons of Joseph and worshipped, leaning upon the top of his staff. This morning, I want us to think on what I am entitling Jacob's Blessing. Jacob's Blessing. Before we go further, though, let's just turn to the Lord and ask Him to meet with us and to use His Word in our hearts to make us more like our Savior. Our Father and our God, now we would pray that You will bless the Word of God. We would pray that You will allow it to be that which speaks. For, Father, we believe the power of God is in the Word of God and not in the words of men. We would pray that You will bless then this which we have read, Lord, that which we think about, that is from the Word. We pray that You will use it. Lord, we pray that Thou wouldst indeed allow the Spirit of God to take it and apply it richly to our hearts. Lord, to this end, I pray that You'll help me as Thy servant. I pray that You will lead and guide and thought and word. May the Lord Jesus get glory this day, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. This account that we have read in the book of Genesis in chapter 48 is an amazing scene. What makes it amazing is not those that are involved, but what is involved in the exchange. And let me explain. First, we need to keep in mind that Jacob was dying. The old Jacob, the conniver, the plotter, and the complainer is coming to his end. He undoubtedly suffered from the aging process to a great degree when you consider how old he was at this juncture. But now he is sick with that illness which he discerns is going to take him out of this world. The sickness is so great that he is now bedridden and failing rapidly. Well, this news reaches Joseph, who upon hearing it hastily goes to his father's bedside. It appears that he goes, though, for more than one reason. The obvious reason is that there was a deep and overflowing love in the hearts of Jacob and Joseph for each other. I say, here's the natural force of the heart having its way. Joseph wants to be where his father is. He wants to see his father again. He wants to be near. That is very understandable. But we must note that Joseph takes his sons as well, for he is also greatly desirous for the boys to see and to remember their grandfather, and for the grandfather to see and bless his grandsons. It is to be noted that when Jacob hears of the approach of Joseph, that he strengthens himself. Simply put, his love for his son causes him to expend whatever strength he has to meet his son. Here is a rallying of the dying for the sake of the living. Further, our reading changes the name of Jacob at this point, and that is of interest, I say. Jacob hears of Joseph's coming, and Israel strengthens himself. There's something to be thought on there. The old worm, Jacob, hears, and the prince with God strengthens himself. For there is a work to do. In this moment, there is something that is to be bestowed that speaks not of Jacob, but rather of Israel. Well, as the incident commences, Jacob points to the time when he came to settle in the land of Canaan with his wives, having left the land of Padan Aram, and he says the Lord met him. This is found in Genesis chapter 32. At that time, the Lord reiterates the blessing of Abraham and Isaac and the blessing of a first meeting that Jacob had in this place at Bethel with the Lord before he went to Padan Aram. Jacob cites that blessing in verse 4. I will make thee fruitful and multiply, and I will make of thee a multitude of people, and will give this land to thy seed after thee for an everlasting possession. This blessing is that which Jacob cites, but he also indicates that this is the blessing that he means to pass on. It is this Abrahamic blessing, this setting apart, this and doing with the special terms of God's covenant that he means to pass on. And our text says that Jacob blessed the sons of Joseph by faith. I want you to think about that with me for a moment. Those words do not refer to Jacob's confidence that the boys and their future prosperity were secure. Doesn't have anything to do with that. Jacob's faith was that the word that he had received from the Lord would surely come to pass, and that the boys and all his seed would be blessed in the way that God had said. Jacob believed the covenant promise of God, and he believed that these boys would know the purpose, the promise, and the power of that covenant. It's also interesting that as part of his blessing, Jacob owns the boys as his. He says, as Reuben and Simeon, his first two sons, they shall be mine. Literally, Jacob is saying, I am adopting these boys away from you, Joseph. They were your sons, but now they're mine. All that comes later, Joseph, all your other children that you may have, those are yours. They'll be named after your name, but these two are mine. These two have my name upon them. They are my sons. And again, I say that this means that Jacob actually takes the boys as sons equal to the other 11, which was his right as a patriarch. He could do that. And I will say, I believe that Joseph was most probably thrilled at this prospect. All subsequent children that Joseph had were his, but these boys were now counted as the sons of Jacob, giving them an inheritance along with their uncles. Why do this? Why did he do this? What purpose could there be for Jacob taking these two boys as his own sons, as it were? Now it is observed that because of Jacob's heartfelt mention of Rachel in verse 7, who was Joseph's mother, it is that Jacob is emphasizing that these boys are Rachel's children in his mind. These two boys are Rachel's. The love that he had for her is not forgotten, and her portion is the double portion through Joseph, much like that which refers to Hannah in the book of 1 Samuel. Rachel was given a double portion. It is seen in these two boys. So when you count it up, 1/6, is that right? 1/6? 1/4 of the blessings and the inheritance and the birthright were passed on to Rachel's children. It is also observed, and I say this is no small thing, by W.H. Griffith Thomas, a commentator from a century ago, that the sons of Joseph, who were by their father's position, because of Joseph's position, these lads were princes in Egypt. Their station was not like the station of anyone who had come into the land of Canaan with Jacob. Their place was princes in Egypt. But now, because of what Jacob says, and because Jacob owns them as his sons, they are now identified with those shepherds who were an abomination to the Egyptians. And Thomas makes the statement, it must have been very hard test for them going forward. They were now ostracized in a large measure, though they were still the sons of Joseph. They would now be a reproach. They would be branded. And this would be difficult as young men growing up. Let me just say a word to you young people. If you are known as one who belongs to the Lord and the Lord's people, you may find that it's difficult as you grow up. The world will have a different viewpoint of you. You will be one of those who oftentimes are looked on as, oh yeah, those people. You will be those who are perhaps the ones who are always on the outside looking in. But let me say this to you. I think Joseph knew what was happening and what would be the lot for his sons. But Joseph was thrilled because these boys were not associated with Egypt anymore. They were associated with the prince, with God. Let me have you understand. Though you may have to give up much as far as the world considers, to go on as one who belongs to the Lord Jesus, there is no blessing like the blessing of being in the covenant. Well, at this point, I want to take a bit of a turn, because it would seem that everything that I've been talking about at this point has been Jacob's bestowal of a blessing upon these boys. And when we take the title Jacob's blessing, we might think, well, that's because Jacob offered the blessing. Let me mention this. We must note that Jacob's blessing, like that of Isaac, was not in reality his blessing. Do you remember when Isaac blessed Jacob and when he blessed Esau? Isaac was offering words, offering prophetic words, but it was not his blessing that he was dealing with. It was the Lord's blessing that he was passing according to the covenant terms. His words, Jacob's words, Isaac's words, they meant nothing. But God's blessing was everything. We will call the blessing Jacob's blessing, for he was blessed. He voiced it, and he bestowed it upon the sons of Joseph. But this morning, I want us to think upon this blessing. I want us to think about it particularly. Three things I want to note. But my theme to you this morning is this, that Jacob's blessing was the echo of the covenant promise of all the fullness of God on his people. Because it was a covenant that spoke of the coming of the Lord Jesus, Jacob's blessing was God blessing Jacob, not Jacob blessing these boys. Jacob passes the blessing on, but the blessing was the Lord's. So I want us to think on this. First, I'm going to consider with you the blesser. Then I'm going to think about the blessing. And finally, the blessed. The blesser. It would seem that the details of our setting would indicate that the old man, Jacob, whose words of love and blessing fell on the land on the lads, was the giver of the blessing. After all, wasn't it Isaac who had blessed him with these same words? And as I have been saying, the blessing of Jacob, though, was not his blessing to give, but a resounding of the blessing that he had received. Again, I want you to understand the whole point of what I'm trying to get across to you is that God, it was the Lord who blessed. You think about it realistically. Jacob had nothing in himself that could have brought the blessing that he spoke onto the lads. Did Jacob have some power? Did Jacob have some supernatural ability to cause these lads to know the things that he was speaking of? Did Isaac have that? Did Abraham have that? Did any of them have those powers within themselves simply by uttering these words? Then these boys were going to know all the benefits of what he just spoken. In fact, I would say this. Well, the answer is no. But beyond that, he had no way to ensure that the portion that he bestows would actually be theirs. He was shortly to die. How would he know? In fact, the others, his uncle, their uncles, could have refused. Though we read later that the fear of Joseph did grip them, there could have been dissension. There wasn't any way, really, that Joseph, by his words, could ensure anything. The fact that the lads were blessed in truth was that the covenant blessing of God was on them. And that was the true blessing of Jacob. Jacob's blessing was not what he gave, but what he received. Now we're going to answer the question, how is that proven? How can I prove what I'm saying here? Notice with me. First, about the blesser. Jacob remembered. Verse 3, Jacob plainly speaks of the blessing of the Lord that he received twice at Bethel. He remembered that time when he had the covenant spoken over him by the divine voice. And I say it was important that the terms of that covenant be reviewed and rehearsed in the ears of the sons of Joseph, for it was now their covenant blessing. Do you understand? Jacob had to give these words. He had to speak these words because they were the words that were the terms of the covenant from Abraham to Isaac to Jacob and now to Jacob's sons. They had to hear what those words were. It was important for him to offer those words. And so Jacob remembers, we read in verse 3, that the Lord appeared unto him and offered these words of covenant blessing. And then I say Jacob reflected. As Jacob remembers, he reflects on the faithfulness of God. He says, let me tell you what happened as a result of the Lord's blessing. The Lord protected him. The Lord guided him. The Lord supplied for him and gave him great prosperity. It was clear, Jacob would admit, that the covenant of Abraham was fulfilled for him as well. There was nothing that he could say, and that he does say here. He is giving witness and testimony that the Lord had been abundantly faithful. Now, I'm going to stop here and I'm going to say a word to you parents. It is important for us as parents to remember God's promises to us and to our hearts upon which we lean. And it is also imperative for us to reflect on those things that we can give witness to those who are our children. Let me tell you about what the Lord has been to me. This is a vital witness. Don't sell it short. Don't just say, well, that's good if you do that. No. Do we not see the Lord instructing his people? This is what you do when you sit down and when you rise up, when you go out of your house and when you come in. You bind these things to your doorposts, and you will tell them to your children and to your children's children and to their children, that they may know the Lord. This is imperative. This is what you see Jacob doing. He is, in fact, remembering what the promises of God were that he has leaned his whole soul upon. And then he reflects upon the faithfulness of God, and he gives testimony of it. And then there's something else that I want you to see here. That is almost as if there is a breaking in the attention of Jacob now. He has the boys in front of him. He has Joseph in front of him. But it says in our text that Jacob worshipped. Again, I want you to understand. He remembered, he reflected, and that caused something to be done in him. He worshipped. And I say it is significant. And I say this is a natural and necessary response to what we have just mentioned. The honest man who truly remembers what God has done for him and what God has said to him and what God has promised, and then reflects upon all the ways in which the Lord has shown that, is a man who will worship. He can't do anything else. And I think this overwhelms the heart of Jacob at this point. He has to stop. There has to be a moment of worship to God. And I say how immensely important it was for these lads, being raised in the paganism of Egypt, to see and to understand real worship of the living God. And Jacob, as a faithful grandfather here, is now before these lads demonstrating this is what those who are the covenant recipients do. We worship. And I say, if you let me take this term Jacob's blessing in just another way, I say that these three things that you see Jacob doing and being allowed of God to do, keep in mind, why was Joseph and the boys there? Was it just, well, it worked out that way. Jacob held on. He lived long enough for them to get to him, and he had enough strength. It just happened that way. Do you think so? Do you think that this moment was something that just happened out? Or do you think perhaps that this particular moment, what you read of here in Genesis 48, what took place there was something that was particularly purposefully ordered by the Lord to happen in the life of this man, the life of his son, and the life of his grandsons, and then to record it for us to be able to read and think on? I want you to understand that these three things that I have just mentioned, that Jacob remembered, that he reflected, and then he worshipped, these were to him a blessing. God blessed him with this moment. God blessed him with this ability. And I say, seeing the old man bow before God was a life lesson that these lads would not forget. For in what Jacob does at this moment, they discern who they are, whose they are, and who they are to worship. I say that's a great blessing. A blessing of the Lord. And then you see that Jacob blessed. Jacob laid his hands on the heads of the lads. You might take that as a most sincere act of love. But I say, in that moment, he is also blessed in that he is led by the Lord to offer a word of prophecy for the boys. You know, it says of his grandfather Abraham that Abraham was a prophet. Jacob also, as it were, was a prophet. Jacob's heart was to them, and he blessed them from his heart. But again, it was not Jacob that blessed them, but God. Jacob was an object lesson. His act was symbolic of the conferring of the blessing of God. Jacob could not in himself bring any blessing to come to pass. Ultimately, we would have to say that here then, that Jacob as the blesser, if you want to put it that way, blesses the Lord. Seeing Joseph and now seeing his seed was cause for great thankfulness. And he offers his worshipful praise to God. Why do I make this point? Why do I even come around to this point? I say it is for this reason. It has to be realized that the true blesser of us is the Lord. He blesses with covenant blessings. And all of our blessings are but echoes of the Lord's blessing to us. His blessing here, I say, was the echo of the greater covenant that was made to Christ. That Christ will have a people, Christ will inherit the land, as it were, and that Christ will come from a line which will come from the seed of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. It is the power and promise of God that brought the blessing upon these lads, not Jacob. So I want us to think quickly then on the blessing. Jacob's blessing was not what he spoke, but rather what he received. What can be noticed about this blessing is the true blessing of Jacob is that which is common and comes to all saints. I want you to think about this with me. What can you say about the Lord's blessing of Jacob? Well, first, I would say this. The blessing of God that was on Jacob was a blessing that sought out the blessed. Think about this. God's blessing sought out Jacob? You know, Jacob, I think it's realistic for us to assume that Jacob may have heard about the blessing of the Lord in his father's house. He may have heard what was blessed to Abraham. He may have heard that from his father Isaac. He may have believed it. But it wasn't until Bethel, when Jacob is fleeing from Esau and going into Paddan Aram, it wasn't until Bethel that he came to have it as his own. The blessing came to him. It sought him. He did not seek out the Lord. He did not seek out the blessing of God. He did not seek out the mercies of God. They came to him. Jacob, when he looked at the whole situation, after the Lord had revealed himself, his response was, surely God is in this place and I knew it not. He wasn't looking. My point is this. The covenant of life through Jesus Christ is the same way. It comes to us. The Lord comes and finds us. We are not those who go looking for the Lord per se in and of ourselves. What does the scripture tell us in Isaiah chapter 53. We sang about it this morning in the hymn, Come Thou Fount. Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it, prone to leave. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to our own way. We are not seeking. It is the Lord that seeks us out. We are made alive by the Spirit of God. We are drawn of the Father. We are united to the Son. We are those sought out. In fact, Isaiah even calls those who are the Lord's, those who are the sought out ones. I say this is the testimony of a true saint. The blessing of God in Christ is not a temporal blessing of houses and lands. It is the knowledge of the Lord Jesus that comes to us. We don't have this by nature. We are fallen. We are lost and undone. We have turned everyone to his own way. There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh. No, not one. That's us. But the Lord comes and finds. The blessing sought out the blessed. Also, the blessing endured even amid hardship. You know, Jacob endured much hardship. This is perhaps why he says to Pharaoh, few and evil have been my days. He was a man that saw much hardship, much heartache. But in spite of all, as a dying man, he looks back and says that the blessing of the Lord had never left him. It was always his. Child of God, you may find hard times. You may find heartache times. You may find confusing times. You may find times that are just almost barely to the point where you can't even endure. The Lord's promise of blessing does not fail even amid that. Do not let circumstances bring doubt. The covenant is yours, and it's not only yours for good, but it's also for the hard times. You know, the Lord says through Paul, it is given unto you not only to believe on him, but to suffer for his sake. Jacob knew that. Joseph knew that. How many of the Old Testament scripture saints can you point to and say they knew the hardship, but the faithfulness and the promise and the covenant of God was not affected by the hard times. In fact, it was made even more precious and more powerful and to be that which was treasured more because of those times. I want you to also see this. If you're looking at the life of Jacob, you'd have to say that the covenant promise, the blessing of the Lord upon Jacob, also dictated the days and events of his life. Do things just happen to us? You know, we live as if that's the way it is. No, it's just happening. This is terrible. What are we going to do? Do you understand that everything that Jacob went through was dictated of the Lord? What? Yes. Because who was going to come from Jacob? Ultimately, who was going to come through his line? Was Jacob going to fall and be destroyed or go off into idolatry or something of that sort? Or was the Lord going to keep him and order his days, even though he had to go through difficulties because of his own unbelief, stubbornness, and self-willed life? Did the Lord still dictate? And we know that all things work together for good. To them who love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. Yes, the promise, the blessing of God does order our way. The steps of a righteous man, of a good man, of a holy man are ordered of the Lord. I would also point out that This blessing secured defense from harm. You know, Jacob in Genesis 32 is, I would have to say, terrified at the thought that Esau was on his way with 400 men. What would that mean normally? If you heard, hey, your brother that hates you, who's sworn he's going to kill you, he's on his way here with 400 men. And you have how many in your host? Most of them are women and children. You've got a few servants. You've got a bunch of donkeys and you've got a bunch of sheep. But what are they going to 400 men, here they come. What was Jacob's response? I say he was terrified. And in the night, prior to meeting Esau, it says that Jacob wrestled with the man. Well, I think we would pretty much understand who that man was, because Jacob holds him and says, I will not let you go unless you bless me. He knew it was the one who was the angel that he refers to in our reading. He wrestles and he insists on a blessing. Why? Because he knew the blessing of God would protect him. But you know the point of it was, Jacob, you were already blessed. Why do you need to have a new blessing? You're forgetting about the old one. You've already been blessed and the Lord has already protected you. Do you remember who came out after you with a host of men already? It was not only but just a few days, maybe weeks before this, that you had your father-in-law coming out after you with all his men, and they were going to take back your wives and their children and all the donkeys and the asses and the camels and the sheep and everything that was his. He said, this is all mine. I want it all back. And yet the Lord comes to Laban and says, don't you touch him. The promise of God had already intervened for Jacob. It would have again, but his mind was, unless you bless me. His thinking, his conclusion was right. His path to the conclusion was wrong. The Lord's blessing and the Lord's covenant does protect his people. Now, it may not protect us from every way in which you might imagine protection to be. I mean, there are some of God's people that have their lives laying down for the cause of Christ. But ultimately, all of God's people are protected. Let me just simply say this is a word of application beyond this. Sometimes men will doubt their salvation. They will think, perhaps, because of this or that thing that has come about in me, maybe the Lord is going to cast me off. No, do you understand that the reason that Jacob was protected was because there was a covenant that was made? The reason why you and I are safe is not because of what we do, because quite frankly, we fail. We only fail. But it's because of the covenant that was with the Lord Jesus. We are safe in Christ. We are safe on the basis of the word of God to Christ. My last point on this is, this blessing did these things, but it also resided among the lowly. The children of Abraham were the abomination of the earth to the Egyptians. And yet they were the ones who had the covenant of God. They were the ones who had the promise of God. They were the ones who knew all the benefits of the Lord's good. It kind of reminded me when I was thinking about this of those words of Paul to the Corinthians. Not many wise or many great are called, but the lowly. I say Joseph was content, even thrilled, to have his sons a part of the lowly shepherds. And Joseph's mind was, I believe, the same as that of the psalmist who said, the blessing of the Lord maketh rich. Excuse me, the proverb. The blessing of the Lord maketh rich and addeth no sorrow with it. Rich with God. Well, I finish with this. I want us to see the blessed. It was the sons of Joseph that received the hands on the head. But as we said a moment ago, Jacob's blessing was a blessing unto God. The blessing was a blessing back to God. There was worship. Jacob blessed the Lord. And so again, I say it was the Lord's that was blessed. And again, if you look at verses 15 and 16, You see the essence of that in the blessing of Joseph. The very blessing that was on the head of Joseph was a blessing that Jacob is offering back to the Lord. And the key subject of his blessing as he blesses Joseph was his own redemption. And he said there in verse 15, and he blessed Joseph and said, God, before whom my fathers Abraham, Isaac did walk, which fed me all my life long unto this day, the angel which redeemed me from all evil, bless the lads. He blesses the Lord. And not only was it the Lord's person that was blessed, it was the Lord's purposes that were blessed. In verse 20, we read there that he says, Jacob offers this as a prophetic word. He says, and thee shall Israel bless, saying, God make thee as Ephraim and Manasseh. And he set Ephraim before Manasseh. The purposes of God are those things that can be rested upon. He was going to use these boys. And Jacob blesses the purposes of God. And then finally, it was the Lord's own that were blessed. The blessings of the boys was a blessing that had a wider effect. You see that from that verse 20. If there's blessing of Ephraim and Manasseh on you, that means there's a bigger or wider blessing. To be blessed of Israel was to be blessed as these boys were, with the covenant of redemption. My point to you this morning is this. The covenant that we're talking about here was Abraham's, Isaac's, Jacob's, but ultimately it was Christ's, because he was coming from these. And so the very same things that you can conclude about all these points are conclusions that you can make for yourself about God's blessing on you as you are in Christ Jesus. All the same things, all the same benefits, all the same sureties, all the same comforts, they are all the same to us who are trusting in the Lord Jesus, because the covenant was not a covenant to a man, it was a covenant to the Lord Jesus. And so I say Jacob's blessing was that he was allowed this moment to bless the Lord before the sons of Joseph. It was a moment of honest remembrance and reflection on the redemption that is in the Lord Jesus. And I say that's your blessing too. That's your blessing too. Well, may the Lord allow this typical story, incident, to be that which instructs us and encourages us with our standing before God ourselves. Let's all pray. Father in heaven, now we would pray that you'll bless the word of God. Pray that you will allow us to learn. Pray that you'll allow us to be those who think, that we might conclude right things from the word of God based on what you show us of how you deal, in fact, how you bless others who stand as representatives for the people of God. Lord, we pray that you will allow the Spirit of God to continue to preach to us, to continue to allow us to be able to rest in the person and in the word of our God, not just rest because circumstances seem to play out in our favor. Lord, I pray that you will now take the word and apply it to us. Go with us as we continue through thy day. Allow us, O God, a day of an honest reflection upon the blessing of our God, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.